Hi, yes, Ron Huber from Rockland. First question is, why are you looking at the floating technology only, and why not any of these fixed gear ones, since we were talking about state waters a lot?
Well, we're making the opportunity available for industry. They're going to test whatever is appropriate to test. We know that the floating technology is what needs to be developed in order to go into the deeper Gulf of Maine where the best wind resource is. So that's we want to make sure we provide that opportunity. They may want to test different blade designs which don't necessarily require deep water or a floating platform. So some of the areas will have, hopefully will have a mix of deep and shallow water so that they can have a pole that sits on the bottom that has a turbine with different kinds of blades. So we want to provide the opportunity to test all the components.
Okay, and will there be opportunities for within these, is there a specific intent to also have tidal energy production or prototypes being tested at the same time, or is this going to be the strongest focus on wind?
Well, the focus is on wind, and these sites would also provide an opportunity for testing wave technology. They're not really the kinds of sites you'd go to for tidal systems where you have to be basically in the best tidal currents in the narrow passages is the best place for the tidal. So but these would have wind and the option for wave technology.
Okay. And if there's a seven-year lease, will the university also allow, say, research on offshore fisheries or things to take place within that platform area, perhaps, or something, say, that's not exactly related to wind itself, but simply take advantage of having a platform out there to Darling Center or anyone else to get on?
Right. The quick answer is yes. I mean, our goal is to make it a marine research site. We're talking to all our marine science folks up that are part of the system, University of Maine system, and other partner organizations. So the folks who are looking at lobsters and marine mammals and plankton, algae, all that kind of stuff, we hope we'll be using that facility.
A great opportunity.
Yeah.
The last one is the comments that you collect from people, itemizing the different spots on the map grid. Will those become available to the public once they're all aggregated? It seems like an awful lot of good information about a lot of specific places.
We'll have some part of that. I think we'll probably have aggregates rather than the detailed individual comments. It's just a lot of material we'd have to provide, but certainly aggregates of areas that have concerns and areas that don't.
Can I follow up on your question about tidal power? Tidal power is, as Bob said, these areas are not going to be ideal to test tidal, but there are areas in Maine where tidal power currently is being tested, and the state has entered a memorandum of agreement with the FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, which issues licenses for testing pilot projects. There's currently one going on in Eastport, and we've worked with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission to make that essentially as close to a one-stop shop process as possible so that we can get these turbines, these tidal power hydrokinetic devices in the water and being tested as they are currently being done in Eastport.
Dana Hutchins, Dama. In a number of different assessments of the geology of the seafloor in the Gulf of Maine, I've heard people say that the geology, not only in terms of the depth of the water, but the geology of the seafloor is not as conducive for anchoring these platforms. That was a comment specifically made by Chris Wisserman from Deepwater Wind a couple of months ago at a presentation at the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, comparing that to offshore sites off Lock Island where they're looking at sites. Bob, can you talk about any of that?
I think certainly it's easier from what I've heard of the industry to anchor these things in soft bottom. But if they're going to get serious about the Gulf of Maine, they're going to have to figure out how to do it on hard bottom, too, because we have a lot of that. We've got reasonable mapping of the state waters in terms of the types of the bottom, whether it's hard, whether it's mud, gravel, sand, and it's a mix. And we haven't looked specifically at these sites for that purpose, but I think the industry is going to have to deal with a variety of bottom types and determine that's part of what they're going to have to test is how best to do this angling.
So I guess a follow-up question would be, is that going to be part of these pilot tests as well?
It certainly should be. It's up to the industry what they want to test. We're just providing them the opportunity, but that's something that needs to be done because if they have to be securely anchored.
And just a quick one. It certainly is part of some of the activity that the university is looking at in partnering with some of the different industry folks. We're talking with the offshore oil industry folks and people who have put some of the biggest rigs in the world out there. So, I mean, it is definitely a concern. It's definitely something that will be evaluated as part of
this. Roger Coulon, Rockport, Maine. Acadia National Park has approximately 2 million visitors annually. As most of you are aware, it consists of Mount Desert Island, Scudic Point, Baker Island, and a large portion of Isla Hope. I would like to express some concern about the visual encroachment of test towers and technology within the area of Isla Hope, and I request that you measure the impact on a significant tourist industry for the state of Maine.
I'm from Walterboro. My name is Bob Hummer. We're going to have a small wind energy ordinance on our ballot in November for people to look at, so there is interest in our town regarding this issue. I have just a couple of questions to ask. These leases that you're going to make available to industry, are they going to be competitively bid? Are the leases going to be competitively bid? And if not, how are you going to decide who gets them and who doesn't?
I think the details of how the leasing would take place is in discussion right now with the staff of the Submerged Lands Program and the State Planning Office, and so a final decision on that has not been made. I don't think a bidding process is what they're talking about at this point.
Does the legislation require that private companies or public corporations availing themselves of these leases, does the legislation require them to pay a lease amount? And what would that be if so?
Their fees have not been set, but they will be required to have a lease, and there will be fees.
Okay. And does the lease, it hasn't been written yet probably, but maybe it's the draft one, does it envision any bonding? I'm concerned about things being left out there that will never be pulled out, and the requirement that...
No, there's a requirement for bonding up front to and demonstration of financial capacity just exactly for that purpose, to make sure that it's not left in the water at the end of the lease.
Thank you.
Just to clarify on your first point, sir, there are a very limited number of companies currently in the world that are developing floating platform wind technologies and wave technologies, and our intent was that we don't really need a competitive process because our intent is that we're opening the door to any company that would want to test in Maine, and that we will have identified enough sites to enable any company who wanted to come here and test and who met the other requirements of the permitting process and was able to get a permit to be able to put their equipment in the water to test it.
Sir?